This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Coming up, getting ready for summer camp. But first, the U.S. Supreme Court this week approved school vouchers in the most anticipated education case in years. Within hours of the ruling on Cleveland's voucher program, voucher supporters across this country vowed to push ahead with a new proposal to allow parents to use public money to send their youngsters to private or religious schools. As NPR's Claudio Sanchez now reports, the next phase in the voucher battle will probably be played out in the states, and both sides say they are prepared for a long, drawn-out struggle.
Now that the U.S. Supreme Court has given a green light to school vouchers, the question is, where and what kind of vouchers will we see? Right now, there are only three publicly funded programs: Cleveland, Florida's statewide program, and Milwaukee, the nation's first. Annette Pauley Williams, the Wisconsin state legislator who helped create that program back in 1990, says future voucher plans should be limited to low-income children. It's the only justification for having them, says Williams.
In Florida, you could have a failing school in a rich community. And those students or those parents in these rich schools get public funding for their children in say a private school. And to me, I don't agree with that. We just want the neediest students to get the help.
The debate over who benefits from vouchers will unfold within the next year in Texas, Minnesota, Utah, Colorado, Virginia, Arizona, and Indiana, states that are ready to introduce voucher legislation. But Kaleem Kerr, one of the founders of the Black Alliance for Educational Options, a pro-voucher group with chapters in 21 states, worries about statewide voucher campaigns.
I happen to think that school vouchers work much better in communities where they're in most need. And I don't think a statewide initiative will work anytime in the near future. Some families in suburbia are comfortable with the schools that they have.
Kerr says the real test for vouchers will be in the most dysfunctional urban school systems. But hold on, says Bob Chase, president of the National Education Association, the nation's largest teachers union. The future of impoverished inner-city school children, says Chase, hinges on adequate support for public schools, not on an escape plan for a few kids.
Keep in mind that 90% of America's young people go to public schools, and they're good public schools. We also must keep in mind that right now, 2 out of every 3 students who applies to a parochial school and 9 out of every 10 students who applies to an elite private school are not accepted. Where are the places, the spots for these kids if, in fact, people think this is true education reform?
If private schools are going to get public funds, says Chase, the public needs to know more about their admissions policies, disciplinary policies, and test results. It's hard to say how these arguments will play in the court of public opinion. Most Americans still don't know how or if vouchers work. There's not a lot of reliable data. The RAND Corporation recently did examine hundreds of voucher studies and found that kids who've used vouchers are really not doing that much better academically. Low-income black children show modest gains, but Latino and white children show no improvement at all. The vast majority of parents who've been given a choice to leave poor-performing public schools, though, are very satisfied. And while there's no evidence that vouchers hurt public schools financially, there's also no evidence that competition has created any pressure on public schools to improve. Again, Pauley Williams, author of the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program.
I can't say that Milwaukee public schools here is better. They're trying to be more open and to allow more choices within the public schools so that parents would not leave. But there's obviously something going on that needs fixing, and how to fix it, we haven't come up with the answer yet.
The Supreme Court has laid the foundation for a much greater mix of schools and educational choices for parents in a few places. But, says Kaleem Kerr,
if the ruling doesn't help create additional options down the road, then I would say that it did little to affect change on a national level.
Still, most educators and scholars agree. This week's ruling on the constitutionality of school vouchers in the case of Zelman versus Simmons-Harris will change the landscape of American public education and most likely take its place alongside another landmark decision, the U.S. Supreme Court's 1954 ruling to desegregate public schools. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News, Washington.